So in our last session, we saw that Sanatana Goswami successfully dealt with two great challenges. He totally escaped the shackles of jail life, and he diplomatically saved himself from being murdered by an innkeeper. Today he's just sent his servant home and he's traveling alone. So we'll begin our reading from 36 of Madhya 20. After departing from Ishan, Sanatana Goswami began traveling alone with a water pot in his hand. Simply covered with a torn quilt, he thus lost all his anxiety. So this is a very instructive verse. In the spiritual sky, prem prevails. But in the material world, enmity and envy prevail. And this is the primary reason why being in the material world is danger at every step, because of the mentality. So we see here that Sanatana Goswami has accepted the mood and dress of a Brahmana renunciate. He's traveling simply. He's not encumbered by possessions. Actually, a true Vaishnava Brahman, he doesn't lavishly exhibit his wealth, whether that be money or knowledge. It's not the nature of someone who's actually Brahmanically situated. Such behavior, such extravagance of behavior is more the behavior of the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas. And that's an interesting thing. It's one of the reasons why Srimad Bhagavatam revolves mainly around kings, not about Brahmins, because Brahmins are mainly, their reality is mainly an internal reality. It's not one that people have access to so much. Whereas with the kings and the Vaishyas, we see it. So many kings are prevalent in Bhagavatam. And for this is one of the reasons, because it's more action, there's more intrigue, more to keep your attention when you're reading. Not so interesting if you're looking at the life of a Brahman, unless it's somebody like a couple. There are a few that are exceptional, that are in Bhagavatam, because they are exceptional. So we can't imitate Sanatana Goswami to avoid anxiety and living in this world. But we can actually take the essence of the principle he's manifesting here. Who can think of a Shastric insight and make how we can do this clear?
I don't get the question.
The question is, we can't imitate Sanatana Goswami. Yes. He's managing not to attract attention, to live without anxiety just by wearing a torn quilt and carrying a water pot. We can't do that. Our circumstance is different. So what can we do to help us catch the essence of what he is showing us here? Can you think of a Shastric? Yes. It's an amazing verse. Mantra 1 and 2, actually, Rishapanishad. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. And it's interesting in Rishap 2, as a follow-up of this, one may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in this way. But this kind of work will not bind him to the law of karma. There is no alternative to this way for man. So just by the simple thing of living in harmony with Krishna's laws, we relieve ourselves of a lot of anxiety, a lot of distress. There's also a principle given in Manusamhita, which is relevant, and it's useful, especially for Vaishnava Grihasthas who are involved in business. And that is that you should give charity in proportion to the wealth you display. If you're giving charity that's in harmony with the amount that you're actually displaying of your wealth, then people are not going to be envious. they're going to be quite peaceful, they're going to be appreciative of you. But if you're manifesting a lot of wealth and you're not distributing any wealth, it's going to create a lot of envy. Yeah? So this is two little ways that we can be very, you know, we should be careful of these things, because as Narottam Das tells us in Bhakti Chandrika, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, one of the important things for good bhajan is that we create an environment around us that is supportive, that is favorable. So that's obviously going to include other people. Of course, we can't always control it. There are a lot of negative elements in Kali Yuga that we have to deal with. But as much as possible, we make an effort to keep our environment favorable. Okay, so let's read on.
What's the number?
36. 36. Yeah. We can't do it as Sanatana Goswami is doing it, but we can do it as Shashachalas. So we're moving on to 37. Walking and walking, Sanatana Goswami finally arrived at a place called Hajipur. That evening he sat down within a garden. In Hajipur there was a gentleman named Srikanta, who happened to be the husband of Sanatana Goswami's sister. He was engaged there in government service. Srikanta had 3 lakh gold coins with him, which had been given to him by the emperor for the purchase of horses. Thus Srikanta was buying horses and dispatching them to the emperor. When Srikanta was sitting in an elevated place, he could see Sanatana Goswami. That night, he took a servant and went to see Sanatana Goswami. When they met, they had many conversations. Sanatana Goswami told him in detail about his arrest and release. Srikanta then told Sanatana Goswami, "Stay here for at least 2 days and dress up like a gentleman. Abandon these dirty garments." Sanatana Goswami replied, "I shall not stay here even for a moment. Please help me cross the Ganges. I shall leave immediately." So this is a very interesting verse also, because we're learning here of the nature of ekantic consciousness, single-minded consciousness. We have a habit in our conditioned state that when things are difficult, we're very ekantic. We're very single-minded in our focus on Krishna, taking shot of the process, so many things. But when things are a little bit peaceful, things are a little bit prosperous, things are a little bit successful, then we have a tendency to become complacent. We have a tendency to become whimsical even. So we see with Sanatana Goswami, it's not that two very, very difficult, dangerous circumstances, move on, move on. Comfortable circumstance with the relatives, stay and talk for a while, you know, get a bit of rest, relax, then move on. No. You see the point? He is fixed in his mission. It's not that he's not fixed in a fanatic way. He has welcomed his brother-in-law. He spent time talking with him, but he's not going to let him divert him from his mission. Can you see this?
Yes.
And it's very, very important, because this ekantic vision, this ekantic focus is very, very important. And we'll see it. Mahaprabhu raises it a number of times, that we need to have this determination to reach the goal. Whether that be a primary goal, long-term goal, or whether it be a secondary goal, a short-term goal. Either way, we should be focused on what we're doing. And this is one of the things we see with Sanatana Goswami, is that his consciousness is very, very clear. Right from the beginning of the chapter, we're seeing he's very much aware of his circumstance. He's very conscious of what his responsibility is in that circumstance, and he's acting on it. So this is also something that we can actually learn from him, and actually we can pray to him in this regard. A thing that we should be aware of is that these personalities in CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu Lila, these people are approachable. We can approach them, we can pray to them, and we see that they have qualities that we don't have. We can approach them and seek their mercy. So he's not going to stay even for a moment. We'll go on to 44. With great care, Shikanta gave him a woolen blanket and helped him cross the Ganges. Vasanatha Goswami departed again. You see, the focus is not rajasic. It's Krishna conscious. Not that he's not accepting the gift from his brother-in-law. No, I've got better things to do. Huh? Not like that. It's not rajasic. It's not fanatic. It's well balanced. He's just got a Krishna conscious mission. He's not out to harm anybody or hurt anybody in the way, but that's what he's going to do. You see, so he's accepted. He's accepted the gift that he's given. And then he departs again. After a few days, Sanatana Goswami arrived at Varanasi. He was very pleased to hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival there. Sanatana Goswami then went to the house of Chandra Shekhar and sat down by the door. Understanding what was happening, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Chandra Shekhar. Now we can see here by the behavior of Sanatana Goswami that he's not living any of parties. He's not living a profile. He hasn't come to the door, remember me, I'm the Prime Minister of the Muslim government, I've given up my position, I've gone through a lot of hardship to come and serve your mission, bang, 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 where's the red carpet? It's not like that. You see, and he's not, you see with a kanista who's in ignorance, someone who's not knowledgeable, who's in ignorance like that, he will, you know, be very
pushy
in his behavior. But there's another side to it. He may know a little bit. He's had the good fortune of some association with Majamajams. So he knows that's not the right mood. But still there will be discrepancies in his mood and his behavior. He won't sit by the door. He'll sit in front of the door just to make sure that people will notice him. But we see with Sanatana Goswami, he is sitting by the side of the door. So the mood, this is a thing that I had the good fortune to live in Bengal for 18 years and get a taste of it because I was preaching a lot in the villages. But Bengali culture is dasya culture. So here we can see that he's living the mentality of being Mahaprabhu's servant. He's not coming with any expectation. He's coming desiring only the mercy of his master. It's so beautiful, the mentality that he's displaying here. He's fixing his position. So it's a good thing to check ourselves and check our behavior. Do we ever impose ourselves on Guru? Do we ever impose ourselves on Sadhu? When we take a darshan of Guru, we take darshan of Sadhu, the idea is not that we invite them into our world. The idea is that by their mercy, we may get a glimpse of their world. It's very different than our world. So we have to be very careful of this because to actually have darshan of a great soul is a rare thing. You may have physical association, but whether you're getting darshan or not, darshan is through the ear. How much the person is going to reveal to you is going to be according to your level of consciousness, your level of culture. So you have to be a little bit aware of this. Okay. 27 is really interesting. This little next section, 27, 28, 29. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "There is a devotee at your door. Please call him in." Going outside, Chandrasekhar could not see a Vaishnav at his door. Interesting. Okay, this is a very instructive verse. So here, Mahaprabhu, he's the Supreme Personality of God. There's no the Supreme Personality of God, it's Swayam Bhagavan God. He's telling him, there's a Vaishnava at your door. There's a Vaishnava at your door, but because of his Kanista mentality, he can't see him. And so he says to Mahaprabhu, there's no Vaishnava at the door. There's no Vaishnava at the door. So Prabhupada, he tells us in his 1751 purport that both Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar should be understood to be Kanistas. In that scenario, he's saying that because they're unable to, they're very disturbed by the Mayavadi Sannyasi's criticism of Mahaprabhu, but they can't defeat it. They don't have the knowledge to defeat it. So in these terms, Prabhupada is saying that they should be understood to be Kanistas. But the other thing is that here we're seeing another side of the Kanista mentality, and that is that the faith is weak. They have more faith in what they see and logic than they have in Guru and Krishna. They only see the externals. Their consciousness is not refined or subtle. And they're unable to appropriately apply Shastra to circumstance. These are the limitations we're looking at when we're locked in this Kanista consciousness. Very unrefined, gross, and it's difficult to work with. But a Majjhamajjham, in tune with Mahaprabhu's mood, would have invited that Muslim in. Because he's not going on externals, he's not going on logic. Mahaprabhu, his master, has told him there's a devotee at the door. There's a devotee at the door. He would have gone and he would have invited that Muslim in to his house. And he wouldn't have doubted it. Now the interesting, let's have a look at 48. It's such the way Mahaprabhu deals with this. When Chandrasekhar informed the Lord that no Vaishnava was at his door, the Lord asked him, is there anyone at your door at all? He has to probe him. You know, anyone there? Anyone at all there? So he's saying, you know, like, there is someone there. He's telling him, there is a Muslim mendicant. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, please bring him here. Chandrasekhar then spoke to Sanatana Goswami, who was still sitting beside the door. So it's interesting because it's not only with Mahaprabhu that this kind of vision, inner vision is there, but we see it also in Prabhupada on a number of occasions, two that I can think of right now. One, he was standing on the second floor balcony of his room in the Lotus Building in Mayapur. He was looking out over the fields. And he saw this person walking up the dusty road. And he said, oh, here comes our new pujari. It was Janani Vasprabhu. He was a hippie traveling around India. He was dressed in jeans, t-shirt, long hair, beard, not looking too well kept. Prabhupada just saw him and said, oh, here comes our new pujari. And that pujari, 40 odd years after Prabhupada said that, is still faithfully serving Radha Madhava in Mayapur. And the same thing with Radhana Swami. Huge crowd. I think it was something like 30,000 people in a Bombay pandal. Radhana Swami was just, you know, like wandering around India looking for guru, dressed pretty shabbily, sitting wide at the back. Amongst thousands of people, Prabhupada spotted him, called him up to the stage, had him sit on the stage. So, you know, it's, this is way, way beyond the Kanista mentality, the subtlety of consciousness, we have to see how evolved the soul is. It's really quite something. Okay. So, did you have a question here?
No, I'm saying about another pastor you told us once that Prabhupada, he was pointing a plane in France and he said it's going to this city. And the guru said, no, it's going to this city. The guru said, no, this city. He said, no, Prabhupada, this direction goes to this city. Then after like 20 seconds, the plane turned and went there.
Yeah. You can't. Very interesting. Okay, a Muslim man, we're starting from 50. A Muslim mending, please come in, the Lord is calling you. Sanatana Goswami was very pleased to hear this order and he entered Chandrasekhar's house.
It's so amazing that he knows it's the Lord. So he's saying, the Lord is calling you.
Yes. You see, the Kanishka, if he's a properly situated Kanishka, he knows the externals. But it's just that refinement has not come yet. It will come with association and service, it will come. But it's just not there right now. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sanatana Goswami in the courtyard, he immediately went up to him with great haste. After embracing him, the Lord was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana was also overwhelmed with ecstatic love. In a faltering voice he said, "For my Lord, do not touch me." Now, because this is Nara Leela, sometimes we underestimate the effect of actually what's happening physically here. So we need to be reminded sometimes. Mahaprabhu, Swayam Bhagavan Gaur, full potency, is touching Sanatana Goswami. So just to give you an idea of what it means, this is just when the Sringadev touches Prahlad Maharaj. He comes to approaches him, to offer him prayers. And, Nrisingadev is pleased with him. This is from 796. By the touch of Lord Nrisingadev's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed of all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love and his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. Pretty amazing. Just to have Krishna touch you. See, I'm going to read it again because it's just so beautiful. By the touch of Lord Nrisingadev's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed of all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love, and his eyes with tears, and thus he was completely able to capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. So beautiful, so exquisite. So not an ordinary thing to have Mahaprabhu touch you. Shoulder to shoulder, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami began to cry unlimitedly. Chandrasekhara was astonished to see this. Now there's a couple of ways at least that we can see this crying unlimitedly when they embrace. One way is to see it through Prabhupada's purport to Madhya 8. Here we have the meeting of Mahaprabhu with Ramananda Roy. And the verse reads, is 23, "Their natural love for one another was awakened in them both, and they both embraced and fell down to the ground." Prabhupada writes something very instructive in his purport about this. Sri Ramananda Roy was an incarnation of the Gopi Vishaka. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Lord Krishna himself, there was naturally an awakening of love between Vishaka and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combination of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. The Gopi Vishaka is a principal Gopi assisting Srimati Radharani. Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced since their natural love also was awakened. So it's, we could see it in that light, that Sanatana Goswami is also a very confidential associate in Braj, Lavanya Manji. So we can see it in this light, but there's another interesting light that is given by Jiva Goswami, and this is in the BBT Purport 11246. Very interesting. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, although Mahabhagavat sees every living entity as a pure spirit soul, such a Mahabhagavat still experiences special ecstasies and other symptoms upon meeting another Vaishnava. We can see it this way, because Mahaprabhu is not identifying as God, he's seeing himself as a Vaishnava. This is not contradictory to his vision as a topmost devotee. Rather, it is a symptom of his love for Krishna. A pure devotee sees every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna and therefore expresses his love for Krishna through love for all the expansions and creations of Krishna. Still, such a Mahabhagavat feels special ecstatic love upon seeing another living entity directly pleasing the senses of the Supreme Lord. So it's not that he's directly feeling it towards the other Mahabhagavat. We see it also with Madhavendra Puri and Nityananda with their meeting. It's there, that direct meeting of the two Mahabhagavats, but it's also in the sense that they're seeing everything in relation to Krishna. So they're just so ecstatic to see that this person is actually pleasing Krishna. This person actually loves Krishna. So that increases their ecstasy. It's just so sweet. So you can see, like, you know, it's such a special thing when these amazing souls meet. But we also see that Chandrasekhar is very astonished to see this. He's very astonished to see this because what he's seeing is Mahaprabhu, his Lord, embracing a Muslim mendicant. What? What's going on here? You see, so he can't make any sense of it. he really can't make any sense of it. Because for him, the world is about externals. Externals don't add up. Any questions or thoughts on that?
Which one was that?
That was from... the first one was from Prabhupada's Purport to Madhya 8.23. And the second one was from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.246.54. Catching his hand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Sanatana Goswami inside and made him sit in an elevated place next to him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began cleansing Sanatana Goswami's body with his own transcendental hand, Sanatana Goswami said, "Oh my Lord, please do not touch me." The Lord replied, "I am touching you just to purify myself, because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe. Not the force of your good qualities, not the force of your knowledge, not the force of your compassion, the force of your devotional service." When we're talking devotional service, we're talking Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, nine processes. First we bring prominence. So then this is the force. So you have to always remember that the sadhu, he doesn't have any independent qualification. It's because he's a vesh. He's lined up with Krishna. He's lined up with Guru Gauranga. He's connected. Prabhupada often gives the example of rod in fire. You take a steel rod. Can you burn something with it? You can't. It's just a piece of steel. It's dead matter. But you put that steel in fire. It's as good as fire. So the force of devotional service is what we're talking about. If we're always in the fire, we have potency. We have potency for our bhajan. We have potency for our preaching. We can actually transform the circumstance around us, make it Krishna conscious. You see with Prabhupada, How amazing. So many of us found this. Look at the six that went to England. Why? Because what in fire? They were so heart connected to Prabhupada. That heart connection. What in fire. Can you see how powerful it is? Not that it's the saints' good qualities, that's why they can purify, that's why this, that's why that. No. The force of the devotional service. They're enmeshed, they're lined up. Yeah? So it's not that they have an independent quality. Their purity is a result of their practical surrender. Because that practical, when we're talking practical surrender, it means your desire is lined up with Krishna's desire. Your desire is lined up with Guru's desire. This is where the potency comes. Independently, what are we? What potency do we have? Absolutely none. Only when we're lined up. So, and we can only be lined up when we're very fixed in the abhimana of being Krishna Nityadas, Guru Nityadas, especially Guru Nityadas. This is more powerful, practically speaking, this is more powerful than Krishna Nityadas. Guru is present. Guru can chastise you. Guru can tell you to do something you don't want to do. Yeah? So then the real test comes. Am I Guru Nityadas? Or do I have an independent program? Okay. Have to be careful. So, you know, and this potency that's coming through connection, through Shravanam Kirtanam, remembrance of Krishna, this is doesn't mean all the sadhu has good bhajan. He's very fixed in his bhajan. This is not a matter of process. This kind of connection doesn't come through following a process. This kind of connection is a heart connection. Just as a fish cannot live out of water, a devotee cannot live out of association with hearing, glorifying, and remembering Krishna. Hearing, glorifying, remembering his devotees. He cannot do it. We're struggling now. Oh, maybe I can, you know, 15 minutes I can read Bhagavatam, or maybe 10 minutes for Bhagavatam. You know, we're on this platform. But actually, someone who has this amazing connection, this heart connection, they cannot live without it. The day doesn't feel right without it. Life doesn't feel right without it. Yeah? Makes us feel a bit sad, doesn't it? We're so far from it. But this is what we have to be aware. This is the kind of person that can purify the whole universe. Someone who has this connection. So Mahaprabhu goes on to say in 57, saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage because of their purity. Remembering that purity is their connection with Krishna, who the all pure. They are constant companions of the Lord. That's their purity, that they're constant companions of the Lord. And therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. That verse purport is very interesting. This verse is spoken by Maharaj Yudhisthira to Vidura in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:13:10. Vidura was returning home after visiting sacred places of pilgrimage, and Maharaj Yudhisthira was receiving his saintly uncle. In essence, Maharaj Yudhisthira was saying, my dear Lord Vidura, you yourself are a holy place because you're an advanced devotee. People like you always carry Lord Vishnu in their hearts. You can revitalize all holy places after they've been polluted by the pilgrimages of sinners. Why? Because you're always carrying Lord Vishnu in your heart. It's Krishna that's doing the revitalizing. It's Krishna that's doing the purifying. You're just carrying him around to do the work. Krishna's doing it. Only because you're carrying Krishna in the heart can you do it. You're just carrying him around. Then to do the service, what he wants to do in the place. A sinful person goes to a holy place of pilgrimage to be purified. In a holy place there are many saintly people and temples of Lord Vishnu. However, the holy place becomes infected with the sins of many visitors. When an advanced devotee goes to a holy place, he counteracts all the sins of the pilgrims. Therefore, Maharaj Jivasu addressed Vidura in this way. Since an advanced devotee carries Lord Vishnu within his heart, he is a moving temple and the moving Vishnu. An advanced devotee does not need to go to a holy place, for wherever he stays is a holy place. In this connection, Narottam Das Thakur says, Tyata Yatra Parishram Kevala Manaras Brahm. Visiting holy places is simply another type of bewilderment. He says, actually, the other part of the verse is, just Sarvgovinda, Sarvgovinda, Sarvgovinda. Yeah. Since an advanced devotee does not need to go to a holy place, why does he go? The answer is he simply goes to purify the place. Okay. He goes on to glorify. Mahaprabhu goes on to glorify the Vaishnava. And to speak a little bit about the other side of the story. Even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. Pure in devotional service. That's what we're looking at. Krishna is not going to accept you as his devotee unless you're pure in devotional service. That means the mood has to be surrender. However, even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, if he is very dear to me, if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activity or mental speculation, indeed all respect should be given to him and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am. So this is the verse from Hari Bhakti, the last, 127. So we're seeing, actually in essence, what Mahaprabhu is saying here, that if you want to get serious, there's only two choices, fruitive activity or devotional service. Fruitive activity is another name for illusion. Because you have to be an illusion to act fruitively. You have to see yourself as having an independent existence to Krishna. You have to see yourself as having another identity than being Krishna's servant. Yeah. And then he goes on to quote another verse from Bhagavatam. One may be born in a Brahmin family and have all 12 Brahminical qualities. But if he is not devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, lotus feet of Lord Krishna means service. Not devoted to the service of Lord Krishna. Who has a navel shaped like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandala, who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the service of the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmana family or to have Brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must become a pure devotee of the Lord. If a Swapacha or chandala is a devotee, he delivers not only himself but his whole family. Whereas a Brahmana who is not a devotee, but has Brahminical qualifications, cannot even purify himself, not to speak of his family. There's a beautiful verse in Padyavali that puts this in a nutshell. This is the 8th verse of Padyavali. Where was the hunter Dharma's piety, Dhruva's maturity, Gajendra's knowledge? Where was Kubja's beauty? Where was Siddhama's wealth? Where was Madhura's noble birth? Where was Ugrasen's chivalrous strength? Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service and not by material qualifications. So he's putting it in a nutshell. But he's not interested. Mundane. If we're talking good qualities, that's nice. But we're looking at, to have a relationship with Krishna, we're looking at transcendental platform. We're not looking at mode of goodness. We're looking at transcendental. So So being a devotee of Krishna, let's see what Prabhupada says in the purport here. This verse is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.10. A brahmana is supposed to be qualified with 12 qualities as stated in the Mahabharata. These are his personal qualities. A brahmana must be perfectly religious. He must be truthful. He must be able to control his senses. He must execute severe austerities. He must be detached, humble, and tolerant. He must not envy anyone, and he must be expert in performing sacrifices and giving whatever he has in charity. He must be fixed in devotional service and expert in the knowledge of the Vedas. These are the 12 qualifications for a brahmana. Then he goes on to quote from Bhagavad Gita, describing the brahmanical qualities. There's a little bit of a difference here because we just read from Mahabharata, we're looking at the personal qualities of a brahman. And of course we'd have to see those in light of Kali Yuga circumstance and what they mean. But in the Bhagavad Gita verse, we're looking at 8.42, these are not so much looking at the personal qualities, but the qualities by which they work. When they're working, these are the qualities that are in action, that are prominent. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the brahmanas work. Now, this is a very important verse for us to note because for a devotee, in our service, we may have to do services that are not brahminical services. If we're a brahmachari in the brahmachari ashram, it may be our turn to clean the toilets. So the thing is, the important thing to remember here is that when a Vaishnav does activities that are not brahminical activities, they may be sudran activities, he doesn't take on the mentality of a sudra. This is the thing. Whatever he's doing, the qualities stay the same. He doesn't degrade because he's doing what is seen as a degraded activity. You see, get my point? This is very, very important. So not that I'm a manager so I can yell and scream and run around. Sorry. Vaishnav means whatever activity you're doing, the qualities prevail. Yeah? Making sense? Any questions on that? Okay. And then he's giving another verse from the Mukta Faltika, talking again about the actual qualities of a Brahman. Mental equilibrium, sense control, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance, simplicity, detachment, theoretical and practical knowledge, satisfaction, truthfulness, and firm faith in the Vedas are the 12 qualities of a brahmana. Now it's very interesting in the Bhagavatam, not in the Bhagavatam, in Gita, when it talks about the qualities of the four kinds of men, we find that only the brahmana and the kshatriya, only when Govinda Devi is talking about the brahmana and the kshatriya, does he mention qualities. For the others, he mentions what they do. So this is interesting because we see that with the brahmana and the kshatriya, they have a role to play specifically in Krishna's plan. So it's not good enough that they just rule the kingdom. They have to have particular qualities to do that as a Rajrishi. Can you see the point? So, you know, you see with the Vaishyas and the Sudras, it just lists what they do. But with the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas, the qualities that are needed for them to actually do the service. Interesting. Okay, 60. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, by seeing you, by touching you, by glorifying your transcendental qualities, one can perfect the purpose of all sense activity. This is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. My dear Vaishnav, seeing a person like you is the perfection of one's eyesight. Touching your lotus feet is the perfection of the sense of touch. Glorifying your good qualities is the tongue's real activity, for in the material world it is very difficult to find a pure devotee of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, my dear Sanatan, please hear from me. Krishna is very merciful. He is a deliverer of all fallen souls. My dear Sanatan, Krishna has saved you from Maharovara, life's deepest hell. He is an ocean of mercy and his activities are very great. Sanatan's reply in 64 is very interesting. Sanatan replied, I do not know who Krishna is. As far as I am concerned, I have been released from prison only by your mercy. Such a beautiful point. Such a beautiful point. We find this also in the prayers when Prahlada is pacifying Nrisimhadev. He says that it's Narad Muni. Narad Muni is the one who's given me access to the transcendental platform. My position is to serve him. Where's the question of going anywhere else? That's what I should do. I should serve him. So the sense of gratitude. I remember it being in Bhagavatam. I can't remember where. I think it's in the Kapila's teachings. That gratitude is a quality of intelligence. And it makes sense, because if you're not grateful, how are you going to get more mercy? Nobody's going to, extend themselves to you. And if you don't have that sense of gratitude, you just use and throw, use and throw, use and throw. There's a value of that. Let's go back and have a look at Prabhupada's purport to 63. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesya Jina Tishtati. Saying within everyone's heart, Lord Krishna works very gravely. No one can understand how he is working. But as soon as the Lord understands the sincere activity of a person in devotional service, he helps it in such a way that the devotee cannot understand how things are happening. It's such a, if we could actually understand, just to get a glimpse of the mercy network that is there, that Mahaprabhu has actually established, it is phenomenal. It's just a matter of, cooperating, becoming a conscious cooperator. All you have to do is consciously cooperate, and all of a sudden everything starts just moving. You may not have any adhika. You may even not have pure desire, but Krishna doesn't really care. He's bhava-grahi. He's interested in your mood. How are you feeling towards him? You may have so many limitations. There may be so many impediments, but what's he looking at? The mood. We see so many times with Prabhupada, people did, devotees, they did some amazing things. But they were proud. Prabhupada hardly noticed it, hardly mentioned it, maybe through a thank you. But someone who did even less, did a lot less, but their mood was appropriate. Prabhupada would fan that like anything. Everything is dependent on the mood. It's not that Dronacharya wasn't a competent king. Nobody was complaining. Things were going well in the kingdom. Trouble was, he didn't have the appropriate Krishna conscious mood. That was what Krishna wanted. He wanted a devotee on the throne. Someone who would represent his desire, not have independent desire. So the mood is so important. And it's just so, I'm going to read that again, it's just so beautiful. Staying within everyone's heart. You see, this is such a key statement. Staying within everyone's heart. He's not just in your heart or my heart. He is in everyone's heart. He is such a master wizard. He can arrange so many dramas just in this one thing that he's in everyone's heart. He can arrange it. He wants to teach you a lesson. He can set up 20 people in the, you know, in the temple to make sure you learn it. He's so incredible. He's in everyone's heart. He has your interest at heart. He's going to use it. Amazing. Staying within everyone's heart, Lord Krishna works very gravely. No one can understand how he is working. Because our way of working is we're hands-on. We just do it. But we have to remember that he is Sarva Shaktiman. He can work. He can work through so many people. He can create, you know, a whole circumstances. You know, just to create a bit of drama. I remember the last time that I did major service from the Sringadev. I had a huge Surya Maitri. It was huge. It was behind him for many, many years. And I'll never forget the drama he put me through with that. It was really something, but it really bonded the relationship. I got it made in Vrindavan, because at that time the workmanship was a lot better. I had it done here. The day I was supposed to leave was the day that Rajiv Gandhi was shot. So, you know, nothing worked smoothly. We had to, you know, this huge thing jumping from above. There's fires, you know, everybody's lighting fires and lights and all sorts of stuff all over the place. And, you know, jumping from buses to trains, and, like, it was insane. And, like, we finally got to Mayapur after 2 days, just in time. The next day, we got there at 9 o'clock at night, just as Janani Vas was putting Prabhupada to rest. We got there just at that time with this huge thing. And Janani Vas just looked at me and said, "Looks like you'll need Prabhupada's Mahanuk." But it was really something just to see how he really, like, it was such a struggle every step of the way. It was such a struggle to just do this. You know, what could have easily been a simple, simple thing. You know, put it in the luggage carriage of the train and just, you know, have a good night's sleep, get up in the morning, get a taxi, and move away. But it was such an amazing experience. You know, so he can orchestrate scenes in such a way. And especially if you have a look at Shamsundar Prabhu's book, Chasing Rhinos with the Swami, it's such an amazing book. And the magic that was so prevalent there, Krishna's hand is so strong with those six that went to England, how Krishna set everything up, you know. And it wasn't like he made it easy, he made it exciting, but it certainly wasn't easy. So it's pretty amazing how Krishna does this. So he's in everyone's heart. No one can understand how he's working, but as soon as the Lord understands the sincere activity of a person in devotional service, he helps him in such a way that the devotee cannot understand how things are happening. If the devotee is determined to serve the Lord is always prepared to help him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami how merciful the Lord is. Sanatana Goswami was a minister in the service of Noah Husansa. He was always mixing with people materially inclined, particularly with Mohammedans, meat eaters. Although he was in intimate touch with them, by Krishna's mercy, he came to find such association distasteful. Therefore he left them. As stated by Srinivasacharya, Tyakva Tunam Asyesham Madhyana Patishenam Sada Tutsavat. Krishna, is that the one? What's that translated as? I'm not sure. Okay, Krishna enlightened Sanatana Goswami in such a way that he was able to give up his exalted post as minister, thinking his material position insignificant. Sanatan was prepared to become a mendicant. Appreciating the activities of Sanatan Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised his action and thanked Krishna for his mercy upon him. This is also very instructive, the way Mahaprabhu is dealing with this. He's not saying, see, by my mercy you're free. He's not saying that. By Krishna's mercy. You see, when anyone is actually advanced, they'll always deflect. They'll never accept any kind of recognition or acknowledge that they're... because they know who the doer is. If you're actually firmly convinced in the understanding that Krishna is, you know, nothing moves unless Krishna allows it, you're just an instrument. So why are people glorifying me? You glorify the person who actually did it. Then it makes sense. So, you know, just the fact that Mahaprabhu is reminding us of this principle also. Then 65. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Sanatana Goswami, how were you released from prison? Sanatana then described the story from beginning to end. Now sometimes we think that discussing our difficulties in Krishna consciousness and how we dealt with them or how we're trying to deal with them, that's prajalpa, that's maya. But actually it's very important that we do that. We can see it's happening right here. Very, very important, because when you can actually open your heart to another devotee and said, this really crazy thing happened and I was really bewildered for some time, but then I prayed to Prabhupada and some inspiration came. But maybe I could have done it better, what do you think? This kind of discussion is actually important. Not that we all walk around with a pure devotee profile. You know, I've had enough of it. We're none of us are pure devotees. Let's be real. We get real by being honest about where we're at. And we share with people, this happened, maybe I could have done it better. What do you think? How would you have handled it? You know, just be honest with where we're at. We cannot make advancement from an artificial platform. We cannot do it. We have to be real. So we can see here that, you know, Mahaprabhu is not saying, oh, that's not important. You know, that's not important. Tell me about Krishna. He's not saying that. He's not saying that. He's saying, Mahaprabhu, you know, Sanatana Goswami is describing the story from beginning to end. He's not missing any detail. He's telling him the whole story. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I met your two brothers, Rupa and Anupam, at Prayag. They have now gone to Vrindavan. By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami met both Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhara. Tapan Mishra then extended an invitation to Sanatana Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, asked Sanatana to go get a shave. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Chandrasekhara and asked him to take Sanatana Goswami with him. He also asked him to take away Sanatana's present dress. Chandrasekhara then made Sanatana Goswami look like a gentleman. He took him to bathe in the Ganges, and afterwards he brought him a new set of clothes. Prabhupada's purport. The words Bhajrakarna are significant in this verse. Due to his long hair, moustache and beard, Sanatana Goswami looked like a darabesh or a hippie. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like Sanatana Goswami's hippie features, he immediately asked Chandrasekhara to get him shaved clean. If anyone with long hair or beard wants to join this Krishna consciousness movement and live with us, he must similarly shave himself. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider long hair objectionable. Sanatana Goswami was saved from a hellish condition, Maharorva, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maharorva is a hell where animals are placed, where animal killers are placed. In this regard, refer to Srimad Bhagavatam 5:26:10-12. So there, Prabhupada explains, or it's actually Bhagavatam explained, a person who accepts his body as his self works very hard day and night for money to maintain his own body and the bodies of his wife and children. While working to maintain himself and his family, he may commit violence against other living entities. Such a person is forced to give up his body and his family at the time of death when he suffers a reaction for his envy of other creatures by being thrown into the hell Pururava. In this life, an envious person commits violent acts against many living entities. Therefore, after his death, when he's taken to a hell by Dhammaraj, those living entities who are hurt by him appear as animals called Rurus to inflict very severe pain upon him. Learned scholars call this hell Rurava. Not generally seen in this world, the Ruru is more envious than the snake. Punishment in the hell called Maharurava, this is the big one, is compulsory for a person who maintains his own body by hurting others. In this hell, Ruru animals known as Kravada torment him and eat his flesh. Not very nice. Now this is very, you know, like, we really have to look at our hearts when we hear this kind of thing, because we can tend to take it very superficially. But the thing is that we should not, it's a principle of Manu Samhita, we should not ask anyone to do something we ourselves would not do. We should not ask anyone to do something we wouldn't do. To do so is an act of envy. We're putting in somebody else at risk. You know, you see this a lot in factories, for example. Such a huge risk factor there. So many cases. Even simple little things. The way a housewife deals with her cleanup. Would you be happy to be treated as you treat her? Think about it. We have to remember that if we're wearing tilak, if we're calling ourselves a Vaishnava, we have a responsibility. If we behave, if we dress like this and we behave like everyday materialist, it's going to break the faith of the common people in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. No difference. Only dress is difference. Can't be like that. They should feel that you're different. They should be able to feel by your dealings that you are not the average materialist. The way you speak, the way you deal with people, they should be able to pick it up.
Yeah.
Not that we put on one role to go to work, come home, take a shower, put on the dirty and serve the deities. Two different people, Jekyll and Hyde. Not like that. Yeah. You see, with Murari Gupta, he didn't accept charity from anybody. He maintained his family as a physician. And said that he was a very good physician. He not only cured their material disease, he cured them spiritually. So you can understand that he wasn't putting on a profile to go on to his work and coming home being something different. When he went to work, he was still the Vaishnava. He was still caring and trying to help in that circumstance, both materially and spiritually. Just something to think about, because we can, you know, when we read this, I think, oh yeah, the Muslims, they eat meat, they do like that, yeah. But maybe we're also inflicting pain on people. And it's a very interesting principle that we should be aware of in relation to this, and that is that people have hearts, projects don't. You see in this movement, so many devotees' faith is broken, their health is broken, so much is broken because they're push to build a temple, push for so many big projects, but the project doesn't have a heart, the person does. So always we have to be aware. Okay, we may have a deadline, but we have to be aware this person can't meet that deadline. Take them off the hook. Okay, this is not a good deadline. What do you think? What do you think you can actually manage to be sane? What do you think and you can maintain your health? What do you think you can do? Yeah? Very, very important point. Because this is impersonalism. Project. Impersonalism. Achievement. You know, it's not the main, Mahaprabhu didn't come, neither did Prabhupada, neither Bhaktisiddhanta, neither Bhaktivinoda. They didn't come to build temples. They came to build faith. So we should always be checking. Am I instilling faith by the way I'm dealing with this person? Am I increasing their faith by the way I'm dealing with this person? And we're not just talking with potential devotees, we're talking with your employees, with your family members. Am I increasing their faith? This is a real thing. Is the faith increasing? No? Any thoughts on that? You okay with it? Okay. So 71. Chandrasekhar offered a new set of garments to Sanatana Goswami, but Sanatana did not accept them. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard news of this, he became unlimitedly happy. After bathing at noon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of Prabhupada Mishra for lunch. He took Sanatana Goswami with him. After washing his feet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down for lunch. He asked Tapan Mishra to supply Sanatana Goswami lunch also. Tapan Mishra then said, Sanatana has some duty to perform, therefore he cannot accept lunch now. At the conclusion of the meal, I shall supply Sanatana with some remnants. So this is very interesting. Mahaprabhu is saying, he's asking Tapan Mishra, you give him some lunch also. But he's saying, no. So you can understand that the culture we're looking at in Mahaprabhu Lila, we're looking at Madhyam culture. Madhyam culture is a mode of friendship. So look, I'm the boss, I said, give him lunch. Huh? And we're not, you know, when you're looking at Braj Lila, you're not looking, Narayan, I remember one time, I went with one of our Guru Sannyasis to a particular temple he wanted to show me. It was run by some other Sampradaya. And when we were walking out, he was glorifying it and saying, it's so peaceful. You know, like there's just a one person in, you know, responsible, the one Acharya, and everybody's doing what he's saying and everybody's respecting him. And I said, yes, Maharaj, that's fine, but this is Vaikuntha model. It's not what Mahaprabhu gave. Mahaprabhu is giving Golok model. Yeah? So this is what you're seeing here. Not that I'm God, I said, give him lunch. No. He can say that. Tapan Mishra. He can say that. So now there's some duty perform. And we can't accept lunch right now. What? What would you do? You know, you tell your wife something. What would happen if you react? See which culture you're living. Are you blaming Orion? The other thing that we're seeing here is not only the culture, but Madhyam culture, but we're also seeing the loving compassion. You know, this is another sign that our superior, they should have a mood of loving compassion, practical loving compassion. So okay, he could say, okay, Mahaprabhu wants to date with him. But there's more mercy if he waits and takes his remnants. Yes. You see, so beautiful. So there's this loving compassion, very practical loving compassion of a superior that's coming through here. After eating, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took rest for a while. Tapan Mishra Then Geshe-Nath Goswami, the remnants of food left by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pretty amazing. When Tapan Mishra offered Sanat Goswami new cloth, he did not accept it. Instead, he spoke as follows. If you want to give me some clothing according to your desire, please give me an old cloth you have used. When Tapan Mishra gave Sanat Goswami a used dhoti, Sanat immediately tore it to pieces to make two sets of outer cloth and underwear. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the Maharashtriya Brahmana to Sanatan, the Brahmana immediately invited Sanatan Goswami for full meals. The Brahmana said, "My dear Sanatan, as long as you remain at Kashi, please accept lunch at my place." Sanatan replied, "I shall practice the process of Madhukari. Why should I accept full meals in the house of a Brahmana?" So he's very serious. He's actually seriously wanting to please Mahaprabhu by honestly living as a Vaishnava renunciate. He's honestly wanting to do that. Let's have a look at Prabhupada's purport to this. The word Madhukari comes from the word Madhuka, which means, which refers to bees collecting honey from flower to flower. A Madhukari is a saintly person or a mendicant who does not accept the full meal at any one house, but begs from door to door, taking a little food from each householder's place. From memory, you can only take from seven houses. So then, because it's not, this is to give you the mentality that I'm dependent on Krishna for my meals. If I have an open ticket, I can just keep going until I get what I want, right? But if I can only go to seven houses and I don't get what I need for that day, I can understand Krishna doesn't want me to eat today. Or maybe it's something lavish is given and not to share with a few friends. Oh, Krishna wants me to share with some friends today. So it keeps the mind more aware that it's not these people feeding me. Krishna, they're instruments of Krishna who's feeding me. So, yeah, a person who renounces or may beg but not cook. His begging should not be a burden for the householders. That's why he doesn't take only from one person. The Madhukari process is strictly to be followed by a Babaji, that is, one who has attained the Paramahansa stage. This practice is still current in Vrindavan, and there are many places where alms are offered. Unfortunately, there are many beggars who have come to Vrindavan to accept alms, but not follow the principles of Sanatan Goswami. People try to imitate him and lead an idle life by practicing Madhukari. It is almost impossible to strictly follow Sanatan Goswami or Rupa Goswami. It is better to accept food offered to Krishna in the temple than to try to imitate Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami. He is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation, can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system, as Bhagavad Gita 6.17. The ideal sannyasi strictly follows the ways practiced by the Goswamis. Now the point is that Prabhupada is intimating it here, better to accept food offered in a temple, that's been offered to Krishna in a temple, than to do Madhukari. And actually we don't really, as it's developing, as the degradation in Kali Yuga's developing, you're not getting a choice. You find that the Babaji's, for example, in Vashana, and this is why Ramesh Baba had to start a huge kitchen that's practically open 24/7, because so many of the Vrijbasis are taking to onion and garlic, not to mention other things. So then Manusamita tells us that if you eat onion and garlic, you lose your Brahmanhood. So how are you going to do Madhukari in a place which is not offering food that's offered to Krishna? Or if it is offered to Krishna, it's not offerable to Krishna. So you see how things are degrading. And Bhaktisiddhanta was very strong on this. Better you live in a temple and you eat regular temple prasadam than you go and try and do Madhukari. Because how can you do that in the present age? How can you live like Sanatana Goswami? You're going to drink the river, the Jamuna River? Where are you going to find trees to take your fruit from? Kali Yuga is degrading so rapidly. So there has to be some time, place, circumstance adjustment. And that's been given by Bhaktisiddhanta. Where do you take from the temple? Yeah. 82. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt unlimited happiness to observe Sanatana Goswami's strict following the principles of sannyas. However, he repeatedly glanced at the woolen blanket Sanatana Goswami was wearing. Now this is interesting. This is actually a test from Mahaprabhu. If Sanatana Goswami, if his consciousness is not subtle, he won't even notice that Mahaprabhu is looking. He won't pick it up. If his consciousness is separatist, he'll notice, but he won't take note. I've got my plans for this blanket. Huh? Interesting. Now, there's a very, very important lesson to learn from this verse. Because we see in verse 71, let's have a look at 71. We see in 71, Chandrasekhara offered a new set of garments to Sanatana Goswami, but Sanatana did not accept them. He's seriously trying. He's honestly trying. He's accepting not new cloth, old cloth. And the Mahashram Brahman, he's offering him meals every day. No, I want to do Madhukari. But he cannot, for some reason, he can't see the contradiction. He's wearing a blanket that's valuable. Now we may think, well, I have my mink at home, maybe Mahaprabhu's not happy with that. But the thing is, you have a look, I think it's 92 in the word for word, we find out how valuable that blanket is. In 92, a woolen blanket costing 3 gold coins. The blanket is worth 3 gold coins. He can understand that 7 gold coins in my pocket is a death risk, but he can't understand that wearing 3 gold coins isn't. Yes, it is. It's a big contradiction. Now, we have to understand, this is applicable, we should think about this. We have to understand why he can't see this contradiction. He can't see it, and we all have this problem. He can't see it because he's been living a life of decadence, extravagant sense gratification. He's been living with mlechas and yavanas who have unlimited money and power. That has become his norm. So he can't see why the blanket's a problem, because that's his norm. And this is why it's so important to have relationship with other devotees, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhakti Aloka, he explains that what we see as our present nature is just our previous prejudices. Our prejudices from our previous life have come together to make what we call our nature. We have so many prejudices based on previous norms. So quite often we cannot, and this is why you see so much fighting between Kanispas. We cannot understand another point of view because we haven't come to a point where we're looking at things shastrically or through the eyes of the Acharya. But, you know, we have our what is normal for us, you know, that's the norm, that's normal. That's normal. It's normal for us. But maybe it's not normal for the general mass of people, general mass of devotees. So that's why it's so important to be in the association of devotees, so you hear different perspectives on the same thing. you realize, well, my way is not the only way. There are other ways of looking at it. You see? I'll give you one little example of this, which is a really funny little example, a cultural example. You know, when the Bengalis, it's not so prevalent now since five-star TV came in, culture's pretty much gone. But, you know, in Bengali culture, because it's so much ingrained, you know, the whole Mahabharata mood is so much ingrained, when they honor prasadam, they will wash their hands, feet, mouth, everything, and then they sit down to take their meal. And because they see prasadam not only as the mercy of the Lord, but as a taste manifestation of Krishna. When they chew something and there's some remnant, they won't put it on the plate. They'll put it on the table because it's touched their mouth. So they'll put it on the table. They won't put it on the plate. Now somebody who's got a fixation about cleanliness sitting next to them, God, this guy is really unclean. Look at him. And they're putting it on their plate. The Bengali saying, this guy, he's got no regard for prasadam. He doesn't know how to respect prasadam. Look at this guy. So can you see? You know, they're both honoring prasadam, they're both Vaishnavas, but the perspective is so different. Can you see? So that, you know, he can't see it. He cannot. He has to have somebody who's senior to him, who's his well-wisher, and you know, like, and you know, and to tell him, look, I'm sorry, this is not a good idea. What you're doing is not a good idea. And he has to be open to it. And he is. Let's have a look what he says. In 83, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was repeatedly glancing at this valuable wooden blanket, Sanatana Goswami could understand that the Lord did not approve of it. He then began to consider a way to give it up. This is another very, very important lesson, because quite often we have, you know, we're doing things, and maybe tiny, tiny little things that we're doing day to day, and we're getting, you know, signs that, you know, maybe you should adjust this, maybe you should change this, maybe you should do this another way. But no, we have our regular way of doing things and we just go on doing with the regular way. But we have to remember that what we're trying to do is we're trying to be, you know, transformed from stone to fish. So we have to, we're trying to live Charanagati principles. We're trying to live Shikshastika 8. So then we should, when these little signs come. I'll give you an example. It's a very petty little example. It's Shravan. Thakurji likes particular flowers in this month. I don't know, but Hari Bhakti Vilas tells me that Thakurji likes particular flowers in this month. So I'm going out this month to try and find those flowers for him. So I'm, you know, doing it, and I'm just going on, and it's going very peacefully. I do very early morning as soon as the sun's up, and don't get stopped to talk and all that kind of thing. Very peaceful. But then I notice that one devotee is watching very carefully when I'm plucking flowers from one particular tree. And it goes on for 2-3 days. So I can understand from that that this, and it's not anywhere in his vicinity of his house, but I can understand from that that this devotee has a sense of possessiveness about this particular tree and its flowers, and it must be for his deity. Right? So from the next day, I don't go to that tree. It's just a small, small thing. But can you see how the consciousness is adjusted and made more Krishna conscious by that? Taking yourself out of the center of the picture. He also has deities. He has a sense of possessiveness about those flowers for his deities. So, no, I'm here first. Not like that. Can you see? All these little things that come up in a day, especially in family. Especially in family. If we can catch this, our family circumstance can become such a revolutionary field for transformation. just be aware. Why says it this, says it second day, says it the third day, still not listening? Maybe listen. You see, it's so, we're so rigid, so fixed in being the controller, enjoyer, and doer. We can just adjust that. Become more the receiver on the other side of the coin. Yeah? And then it becomes such a, it softens the heart so much to act like that. Become more fish-like rather than stone-like. So, you know, it's an art, so he's picking it up. Not that Mahabhu is, you know, he's only glancing at him. He's not saying anything. He's not instructing him. This is first class servant. You don't have to instruct them. They pick up what you want. They do it. Yeah? So he's saying, okay, thinking in this way, Sanatana went to the bank of the Ganges to bathe. While there, he saw that a mendicant from Bengal had washed his quilt and spread it out to dry. Sanatana Goswami then told the Bengali mendicant, my dear brother, please do me a favor. Trade me your quilt for this woolen blanket. And the mendicant replied, sir, you're a respectable gentleman. Why are you joking with me? Why would you trade your valuable blanket for my torn quilt? Sanatana said, I'm not joking. I'm speaking the truth. Kindly take this blanket in exchange for your torn quilt. Saying this, Sanatana Goswami exchanged the blanket for the quilt. He then returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a quilt on his shoulder. When Sanatana Goswami returned, the Lord asked, where is your woolen blanket? Sanatana Goswami then narrated the whole story to the Lord. You see, again, he's telling the whole story. You see, we have a tendency to cut things short, talk in cryptic messages. Huh? Goes with impersonalism and factory age. But, you know, he's taking the time to explain. He's understood what Mahabhu had to say. Sri Chaitanya Mahabhu said, I have already deliberately considered this matter. Since Lord Krishna is very merciful, he has nullified your attachment for material things. Why should Krishna allow you to maintain a last bit of material attachment? After vanquishing the disease, a good physician does not allow any of the disease to remain. Why?
It will recur.
The disease will recur. And we also have to be aware that this material attachment business, you know, in the early stages, we're looking at gross attachment. But actually, we have so many subtle material attachments to deal with. And Krishna will test us. We have to see. Last session, we were talking about devotional service. Performing devotional service is not enough to take you back home. It has to be with unflinching faith. So that the only way you can have unflinching faith is if you're more attached to Guru and Gauranga than you are to all your material attachments. And subtle is getting close to the bone. Getting close to the bone. How do you feel when people don't like you? All of a sudden Krishna's got this whole drama going where nobody likes you. We're so used to being popular. We're so used to being, you know, we're attached to it. But if Krishna, he's testing you, okay, are you going to continue on with your bhajan? Are you going to continue on with your service in a steady mind, with a steady mind, equipoised mind, despite all this petty politicking? Are you going to do that? Are you going to crumble in a heap and start fighting with the politicians? What are you going to do? Prahlad Maharaj tells us that when we try and solve a problem, we just make it bigger. The only solution to the problem is Ravana Kirtan and Vishnu Smarana. See, I'm being practical. I'm being practical. This is not fanaticism. This is just practical. Because we're in a karmic circumstance, any attempt to, you know, deal with that is just going to complicate the karma.
Guaranteed. Outside in.
Yeah, outside in. That's a good point. Yeah? But if you can just, okay, this is what Krishna wants me to go through at this point in time. I'm not going to try and fight it. I'm not going to try and adjust it. I'm not going to try and defend myself. I'm just going to accept it and get on with life. So these tests will come. The gross ones are easy. The closer it gets to the heart, you know, it gets a little bit tougher. Okay, so he's saying, not one last bit. Not one last bit of material attachment. Krishna won't allow you. One last bit of material attachment. And we have to understand what material means. Material means not in relation to Krishna. Okay, it is contradictory to practice Madhukari and at the same time wear a valuable blanket. One loses his spiritual strength by doing this. And one will also become an object of jokes. Sanat Goswami replied, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead has saved me from the sinful life of material existence by His desire. My last piece of material attraction is now gone. I don't have the strength to spiritually desire to become free of all attachment. I am so entangled. But by Krishna's desire, my last piece of material attraction is now gone." Being pleased with Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed His causeless mercy upon him. By the Lord's mercy, Sanatana Goswami received the spiritual strength to inquire from Him. Now this is an amazing statement. In the next session we'll go into it quite deeply. But for now I just want to read you something from Bhaktisiddhanta's Amritavani. When we're looking at what it means that Mahaprabhu gave him the spiritual strength to inquire from him. Just have a listen to this. "Sri Hari, who dwells in our hearts as a super soul, is the internal spiritual master, Chaituguru. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as Chaituguru, the spiritual master within. When he is kind to some fortunate conditioned soul, he personally gives him lessons so he can progress in devotional service, instructing the person as a super soul within and the spiritual master without." Now listen to this very, very carefully. "The Chaituguru awards us a qualification to realize the instructions that we have heard from the initiating and instructing gurus. He also imparts the strength to follow those orders. Without His mercy, no one can understand the intention of either the initiating or instructing spiritual master." Listen to this. "Lord Sri Gauranga Dev alone awards transcendental knowledge and pure devotional service through the initiating spiritual master, protects that pure devotion by sending the instructing spiritual masters who are non-different from him, and as the internal spiritual master, personally awards the strength to follow the guru's orders and teachings." Phenomenal. Everything. You see how Mahaprabhu is providing all these avenues for spiritual realization. He's manifesting Chaituguru. He's manifesting as Diksha Guru. He's manifesting as Siksha Guru. And here he's manifesting as Mahaprabhu. You see? So he's received the spiritual strength from Mahaprabhu. Very amazing. Shall I read that again?
Yes.
It's very amazing. Sri Hari, who dwells in our hearts as a super soul, is the internal spiritual master, Chaitya Guru. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as a Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within. When he is kind to some fortunate conditioned soul, he personally gives him lessons so he can progress in devotional service, instructing the person as a super soul within and the spiritual master without. The Chaitya Guru awards us the qualification to realize the instructions we have heard from the initiating and instructing gurus. He also imparts the strength to follow those orders. Without his mercy, no one can understand the intention of either the initiating or instructing spiritual master. Lord Sri Gaurangadeva alone awards transcendental knowledge and pure devotional service through the initiating spiritual master, protects that pure devotion by sending the instructing spiritual masters who are none different from him, and as the internal spiritual master personally awards the strength to follow the Guru's orders and teachings.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna.
Hare Krishna.